Let's pray together. Lord, as you have done before, we pray that the heavens would be open to us here and now. We pray that your word would go forth and accomplish that which you've purposed for it today. That your Holy Spirit would fall upon us, anointing us with power from on high, to hear your word, that implanted word that has the power to save our souls, and that you would water it in us, and that it might grow and bear fruit for your kingdom's sake, in us and in our world. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please do open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1. As Todd said, we're going to be looking at the baptism of our Lord today. This Sunday, that's the first Sunday after Epiphany, is always set apart to remember the baptism of Jesus. And the baptism of Jesus can get a bit washed over in the life and the death and resurrection of Jesus. But it is an important event. And I want to put forward to us today that the baptism of Jesus has a lot to teach us, reveal to us about who Jesus is and who we are. Because we are in the season of Epiphany. As Todd says, Epiphany was about the revelation of the Messiah to the Gentiles, the revelation of our redemption to all the nations. That as our Isaiah reading said, that God has made his servant, the Messiah, Jesus, to be a light to all nations. So this Epiphany season is the season of revelation, of light, of the manifestation of the glory of Jesus. I was just talking to Sharon the other day as we were putting together our bulletin. I really love the preface in our Holy Communion for the season of Epiphany. The preface is that part of our communion liturgy that changes from season to season. You'll notice it's slightly different in the different liturgical seasons. But for communion, if you look at it, the proper preface to communion says that Jesus took on our mortal flesh to reveal his glory. How amazing is that? That part of why Jesus became human was to reveal his glory. That he became human, took on flesh in order to save us, in order to reveal his glory and to manifest his goodness in our midst. So this is a season about us diving into the revelation of Jesus to know him better. And the Epiphany serves also, secondarily, as a personal epiphany for us. Because it's always true that in gaining a clear understanding of Jesus, we gain a clear understanding of ourselves. Jesus is the perfect image of God, the one who came to live the life we should have lived and die the death we should have died. He's the one who shows us who we truly are. In his presence, we can know ourselves. In your light, we see light, the psalmist prays. So the life and the death and the life again of Jesus is our paradigm. It's that which our lives are to imitate. It's that which our lives are to lean upon for the transformation, to become more like him. And it is also the mirror by which we can know ourselves. So the Epiphany comes to us today through the baptism of Jesus in Mark's gospel. So in this baptism, we see his glory revealed. We see the glory of the whole Trinity revealed. And we can also know more about ourselves and our own baptisms, who we are in the light of his baptism. So we start with John's testimony. Mark chapter 1, verse 7. John was preaching and he said, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." As John always does, we looked at him in Advent, right? John is always pointing toward Jesus, away from himself. He must become greater, I must become less, John proclaims. A greater one is coming, with a different baptism than the one I'm offering to you today. Be ready for it, John's saying. He's so much greater than John that John isn't worthy to take on the position of the lowliest servant in his presence, the one who would untie the soles of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, John says. That John is doing this baptism in the river for the repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. But one is coming who will give an even greater baptism, a qualitatively different, a categorically different baptism than the one John is given. And both of these baptisms are necessary in the spiritual life. We need that repentance. We need to receive that forgiveness of sins that God holds out to us. But we also need the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into our hearts to dwell in us, to transform us, to lead us into eternity. So John is preparing us for the baptism that Jesus will bring. And that baptism comes as a result of the baptism that Jesus first receives. So in Mark's very characteristically understated way, it says, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Mark, the gospel writer, is kind of known for just telling you like it is, sticking to the points, being very succinct and action-oriented. He says, Jesus came, this happened. But then Mark doesn't spare us of the glory that comes in this moment. It says, when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. So Jesus comes to John the baptizer, who's baptizing thousands of people in the Jordan River. One of the Gospels says that all of Israel came out to him. So Jesus' baptism was, in one sense, one of thousands that were coming to be baptized by the baptizer. But this one was different. Because of who Jesus is, this moment became a turning point in history, and a foundational moment for the one who is to become the Savior of the world. Because Jesus did not need a baptism for repentance for the forgiveness of sins, right? He was without sin. He had no sins to repent of, no need to receive the forgiveness of God. But this action that he says in Matthew's gospel was to fulfill all righteousness, this action of receiving John's baptism was him entering into the purposes of God, the mission for which he had been sent. This baptism was, in a sense, a commissioning of Jesus, the beginning of him taking on the sins of all of humanity in those waters that would culminate in him bearing those sins on the cross. And so this moment of ordinary grace becomes a revelation of extraordinary glory in Jesus. We are told that the heavens were torn open. And it says that Jesus saw this. That's what Mark says. Jesus saw the heavens being torn open, but clearly other people around saw this as well. In this gift, this revelation to those who were standing by, and to us, to bear witness to the heavens being torn open, because in Jesus, the barrier between heaven and earth is broken. That heaven is opened to us. And we see this revelation of the Holy Trinity in one place. The Father and the Spirit are present together with the Son, united in their affirmation of his purpose, the assertion of his identity, and the commissioning of him in his purposes. The Father speaks over him. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Do you hear that echo from Isaiah 42 that we read? Behold my servant, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. You are my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit falls upon him, filling him, empowering him, anointing him with the glory of heaven. And no other moment that I'm aware of is the whole Holy Trinity present together in a way that is audible and manifestly visible and audible to those around. This is a very unique moment in history, that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all manifestly present in their glory to those around. What a gift that God reveals himself to us in this way. So in this baptism, Jesus is filled with the Spirit, secured in the Father's love, and commissioned. Filled with the Spirit, secured in the Father's love, and commissioned, sent out. And I think that in this revelation, this epiphany, it teaches us about ourselves and about our own baptisms. That we who are baptized into Jesus are filled with the Spirit, secured in the Father's love, and commissioned. So when we look at our baptism, we are baptized into Jesus, into the body of Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we become part of the mystical body of Christ. That the church is the living body of Christ in this world. We are members of this body, individually members of the body and members one of another. We become a part of the body of Christ through our baptism. It's become this rite of initiation into the saving covenant community of grace that is the body of Christ. So therefore, our baptisms are a foundational moment for us. They are a turning point in the history of our lives. And a Christian's life is fully grounded in and dependent on his or her baptism that sets you apart as belonging to Jesus, where he puts his seal on you and calls you his own forever. Our baptism is an identity-creating, foundational, and transformational reality for us. And even if you don't remember your baptism, the Lord does. I was, like many of you, baptized as a baby. I don't remember it happening. I heard about it. I saw some pictures, I think, long ago. But I don't remember this. But it's a core part of who I am. It's a foundational event in my life. And the Lord knows, even if I don't. He remembers, and he has not let go of his claim upon me. And he rejoices when I receive that gift of my baptism and walk in it. Because baptism is the Lord's work on us. It's his claim on us. It's his bringing us into the body of Christ. It's not our work. It's his work. And this is why in our tradition we baptize infants as well as adults. And I think an infant being baptized is one of those perfect signs of grace. That before an infant can cognitively proclaim their faith or in any way say, yes, this is what I believe, that the baptism that they receive is the gift of grace spoken over them from the Father, that this is my beloved. She is mine. He is mine. Grace always comes first in the life of God and in the life of a Christian. Grace always precedes our faith. So baptism is more a work of God than it is our work. Our faith receives that gift of grace. That's why as adults we have to come into a place of saying, yes, I receive that gift. I receive that grace for myself. Baptism has to be a work of grace. Because if it is a work of faith, then it can't be truly foundational for us. It can't be truly transformative. Because we don't have that power. God does. Baptism isn't just a profession of our faith. It's the reception of the grace that God pours out to us, received through faith. And as an aside, I want to mention that many of us know and love people who have walked away from the reality of their baptism, who have at one point maybe received that gift but then rejected it. And I want to encourage us to never stop praying for them. Never stop praying and calling upon the Lord to draw them back to Himself. Never stop trying to love them in a way that will call them to receive that gift of their baptism again. Don't give up. Keep praying for them. All they have to do is to turn once again to receive that gift of grace that is always held out for them. So we don't give up. We know God's heart yearns for them. Let our hearts yearn for them as well. Because baptism is for us, as it was for Jesus, a foundational and identity-crafting moment. And so, as something that happened when I was a baby, it becomes something that I am called upon to remember daily. This is part of the Christian discipline, to remember our baptisms daily. Remember that which I can't remember. And by faith, set the foundation of my life upon this. Because by this event, God has taken a hold of my life. He has ushered me into His kingdom, ushered me into the body of Christ, and to receive His saving grace. And like Jesus, in our baptism, we enter into the dynamics of the Holy Trinity. The life of the Trinity is present to us. The name that we're baptized into, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, becomes the life we are baptized into. We belong to Jesus. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are the beloved of the Father. We're brought into the very life of God through Christ, in the Spirit, before the Father, each and every day. This is something we have access to through our baptism. We know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. And if you don't know that, you can know that. You call upon Jesus, the one who baptizes in the Spirit. You ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit again and again. We hear for ourselves the words of the Father speaking over us. We who have been baptized into Jesus, He speaks over us. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. With you I am well pleased. Do you know that truth in your life? Do you know the power of those words in your life? To hear God Himself calling you beloved. His beloved son, His beloved daughter. Do you know the depths that these words of God spoken over you can reach? Do you know the lengths that you can go, the suffering you can endure, and the sin you can overcome when you believe this? I think most of the problems in my life arise out of my failure to believe this, that I am who God says I am, His beloved son. If I truly believed that day by day, moment by moment, if I lived in the confidence of who I am, that God, I am who God says I am, then that would change everything. Nothing else would matter. If you are the beloved of the God of the universe, everything else pales in comparison. This is why the Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift. The Holy Spirit is given so that we can hear the voice of the Father speaking to us. So we can know the love of God that's poured into our hearts day by day. And as we are filled with the Spirit, as we are secured in the love of the Father, we are therefore also commissioned, sent out into the world to be the body of Christ in this world. to be his hands and his feet, the agents of his operation in the world. If you are baptized, that means you are, by definition, a representative of Jesus Christ in this world. The world that he loves, the world that he is calling to himself, he is making his appeal to the world through you. You are commissioned, sent out into the world by virtue of your baptism, representing Jesus as part of the body of Christ. We've been commissioned to go and make more disciples, to baptize more people into the body of Christ out of all the nations, bringing them into the love of the Trinity, bringing them into the abundant life that Jesus Christ has promised us. This is our commission, to go out into the world, representing Jesus, bringing people in to the promise of life that he has given to us. This is our commission as baptized believers. This is what we've received, that the Spirit fills us, that we've been secured in the love of the Father speaking over us and sent out into the world. And just as with Jesus' baptism, day by day, moment by moment, heaven is opened to us. The glory of God is made available to us as we are filled with the Spirit, secured in love, and commissioned into this world. So two takeaways for us, two encouragements for us as we end. First is to remember Jesus' baptism. Don't gloss over this beginning of his ministry. Remember the lengths he went to become one of us, to take on our sins and to bear our iniquities, that he has come to fulfill all righteousness for your sake and for mine. Remember the revelation of his glory, how heaven is opened unto the world at this moment. The Trinity is revealed, united in love and purpose, that we have not yet begun to grasp the glory of Jesus. Even as we read about it, even as we meditate on it, we have not yet begun to grasp his glory. So we remember these moments. We enter into these moments, striving to remember and to know his glory. So the second is, remember your baptism. First, we remember Jesus' baptism. The second, remember your baptism. That this is something that sets you apart. This is something that your identity rests upon. That you belong to the body of Christ, individually members of it. That we in the church, therefore, are members one of another. That grace has been poured out upon you. Love spoken over you. The identity of beloved given to you. The power of the Spirit dwelling in you. Remember your baptism, that the life of the Trinity has been opened to you, that you're invited into that love, that unity, that joy, that eternity that's with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that heaven has been opened to you each day. Here and now, heaven is open to you. When you're at home, heaven is open to you. When you're at work, when you're in traffic, when you're at the hospital, when you're at the grocery store, when you're with your family, in your neighborhood, here in this congregation, heaven is open to us through our baptism. This is the identity that we rest everything on, foundational to all that we are. I am a baptized believer in Jesus. I am a beloved of the Father. I am filled with his Spirit. Let me encourage you to practice the daily discipline of remembering that you are baptized. Remembering the promise, the claim of God that rests upon you, that you rest your life upon. Consider maybe making that a discipline in this coming season. Put a reminder on your phone when you wake up in the morning. Remember, you are baptized. Following after his baptism, Jesus, as he was secure in his identity, he's filled with the Spirit, secured in the love of the Father, sent out, he is therefore secure enough to walk in the way of the cross in all humility. He goes from here straight into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, and he endured, knowing who he was, knowing the power that he was anointed with and filled with, knowing that he was beloved. And he went all the way to the cross, secure in his identity. And we too, the baptized of Jesus, can walk in that same security. And I wonder how many of our insecurities could be done away with if we remembered that we are beloved sons and daughters of the Father. How many of our fears could be washed away if we remember that we are filled with the power of the Spirit? How much we could we endure through difficult times if we remember that Jesus himself holds us tightly as part of his body, that we are eternally secure in him? And I want to close here by asking you to just close your eyes with me and to imagine right now Jesus himself baptizing you. This is something that happened to you once long ago, probably. But this is a reality that's yours day by day. That Jesus takes you by the hand, leads you into the waters of his love and grace, plunges you into his death, raises you to his new and abundant life. And the heavens are opened. The glory of God descends. The Spirit of God comes and fills you. The voice of the Father speaks to you, to your heart. You are my beloved daughter, my beloved son. Believe that with you I am well pleased. This is the glory of heaven that's been given to us. As you are baptized, immersed in the love of God, in the security of God, in the eternity of God. This is our great privilege as Christians. This is our great joy and the foundation of all that we are, of all that we do. May it always be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.